Radio MD.
RadioMD.com.
This is Healthy Children, brought to you by the American Academy of Pediatrics on RadioMD.com. Here's Melanie Cole, MS.
Norovirus causes about 20 million gastroenteritis cases each year in the United States, and there's no vaccine to prevent infection of this. It is also commonly referred to as the stomach flu. If you've ever had it or you've been with your child that has it, you know it is such an unpleasant situation. My guest is Dr. Harry Kaiserling, professor of pediatrics in the Division of Pediatric Infectious Disease at Emory University School of Medicine. So, Dr. Kaiserling, first, tell us a little bit why people casually refer to this as the stomach flu when it's not actually related to influenza at all.
Well, certainly norovirus is the leading cause of vomiting and diarrhea in the United States. It tends to be a seasonal infection. It does occur in the winter. It peaks in January. People refer to any type of gastrointestinal infection as influenza, although from a purely virologic point of view, the influenza virus is totally unrelated to norovirus.
So give us a little 101 on the norovirus. What are the symptoms and how do you get it?
The symptoms are mainly vomiting and diarrhea. You can also have abdominal cramps. Occasionally you can have fever, muscle pains, headache, common symptoms with any viral infections. And it's transmitted through food or water. You can also get it if you're in close contact with someone who's infected. One thing about this virus is it's very infectious. So we often see outbreaks in daycare centers, in college dormitories, on cruise ships, any kind of situation where people are congregated together in a closed environment.
Now, you mentioned food. So is this food poisoning, similar to that?
Some people would term this food poisoning, yes. There are many infectious agents and what we call toxins that can be consumed in food. So this is one of many different types of infectious agents transmitted by food.
So then how is it, you said it runs around dormitories and daycare centers, exactly how? I mean, one child is vomiting, and another child, is this an airborne floating around thing like maybe a normal cold or something? Or do they have to actually get, you know, maybe they've touched that child, the child had a little bit of this grossness on them and they didn't wash. How is it actually spread?
It's mainly spread by direct contact, either, touching infected material, vomit, or stool. Occasionally, though, it can be transmitted in the air. When someone vomits, the virus can actually spread through the air. So that's another reason why this is such a prominent infectious agent.
That's pleasant to think that.
20 million cases per year in the United States, and about 1 in 15 people per year become infected. There are about 70,000 hospitalizations and 800 deaths. So it is a disease with a significant burden.
Okay, so we know how it's spread now. We know what it is, what its differences to the regular flu, influenza is. So if you've got it, your child has it. First of all, I know that with my child, I was worried about dehydration, you know, so that was mainly my first concern. What prompts a visit to the pediatrician? Do you start looking for dehydration, Dr. Kaiserling, with the little pinch on the hand test, or do you wait this out? Do you rush off to your doctor? What do you do?
Well, your comments are correct. We don't have any specific antiviral medicine that works. We don't have a vaccine to prevent it. So what we do is we treat the symptoms, and the main symptom would be dehydration. Now, you ask, how do you recognize dehydration? In a small infant, it would be that they don't wet their diapers often as they usually do. Significant dehydration, children would have a dry mouth, a decrease in tearing, What we call tenting of the skin, which you mentioned, but that would be a significant consequence of dehydration.
I remember looking in the diapers when my child was little, looking for that, you know, extra pee, because that's what our doctor told us. Now, we were told to try one of those Pedialytes or even Gatorade, because they sort of like that better, in teaspoonfuls to try and see if they can keep that down in between bouts of throwing up.
Right. So it's important to offer small portions. And there are many commercial, what we call electrolyte solutions, that can be used. In older children, other types of fluids, juices, soda drinks. The important thing is to try to push fluids on the child, but you do have to be careful in giving small portions continuously.
I mean, this is something as a parent.
It's a big effort on the part of the parent.
It is.
Well, one good thing about this infection is that it generally only lasts a few days versus some other causes of gastroenteritis, which can last a week or so.
Well, and
so that's the good thing.
It is. There's not many of them. But as you say, it does require a lot on the part of the caregiver. And I remember Dr. Kaiserly feeling, really one of my first times, feeling very motherly. Feeling like I did my job as a mother when I sat up all night with my daughter and every time she had to lean over into the bucket. And, you know, then trying to give her the little bits of electrolyte, not leaving her side. It is a big, you know, it is a big job to take care of somebody with this. And as you say, the only good thing is it doesn't last that long. How does the caregiver and anybody else in the house, I remember running around with Lysol, spraying every surface I could think of. How does the person taking care of that child keep from getting sick too?
Well, the main thing we recommend is hand washing with soap and water. The other point to be made is that whoever is ill should not be involved in food preparation until at least 3 days after resolution of their symptoms, because the main mechanism of transmission is infected food.
Okay, but this is different than if food's got a bad, you know, like rainbow meat or something, right? Or something.
Well, what
similar.
Happens is that the person preparing the food doesn't wash their hands, and so the virus gets into whatever food. You know, it doesn't matter whether it's salad or meat or vegetables, whatever you're preparing has a potential to be contaminated by your hands that have the virus.
That's right, and that's why you always hear about people, you know, wanting to know that the people in the kitchen are washing their hands and that, you know, your doctors are washing their hands when they come in to visit you. So in the last, I would say, minute here, wrap it up for us on norovirus, in protecting your family from this and watching out for the symptoms, for treating it.
The important thing is to make sure your child isn't dehydrated. If you're concerned at all, call your doctor or seek medical attention. But most people don't need to be seen. This is a very common infection. The younger the child is, the more concerned a parent should be, because they can become dehydrated much, much easier than an older child or adult. And the main message for prevention is hand washing with soap and water.
Main message for prevention of many things is hand washing with soap and water. And certainly if you're in the food preparation, make sure that you are clean before you do that. And using a good electrolyte replacement beverage by the teaspoonful can help your child get through this hideous sickness that usually doesn't last that long. Like I said, it makes me feel motherly. This is Melanie Cole for Healthy Children.